Everybody's hurrying to Goldblatt's for good old-fashioned savings. It's Goldblatt's fabulous one-day-only sale tomorrow, Thursday. Goldblatt's great low prices on brand-new items, values in every department, with extra late shopping hours to help you save even more. Look at these great values.
Save $7 an Oster 10-speed blender, only $19.99. Colgate toothpaste with an MFP, only 89 cents each. Hurry to Goldblatt's one-day-only sale tomorrow and bring a friend.
You know, for all we know, that commercial was probably on WRJN because Goldblatt's is down the block here.
Sure.
Carol G and Forte, Jim Basira here, and we're talking about Elmwood Plaza today. And this is Goldblatt's was, I guess, the anchor store, wasn't it?
It was.
It was the anchor store.
Mm-hmm.
And years and years later, I'll just tell right now, when Goldblatt's was long gone and it was empty, we used it to, we had a as a charity, repaired bicycles and gave them away to kids who didn't have bicycles. And we had the whole store loaded with bicycles. Yeah, it's a huge, upstairs, downstairs, Goldblatt's. Now, was that a one and only Goldblatt's location? They were in like Sears or JCPenney, weren't they?
Illinois.
Oh, they were Goldblatt's?
Yeah,
yeah.
They came from.
Well, let's talk about this now. Jim and Carol are here. We're going to talk about the opening of Elmwood Plaza. And what year are we talking about here? Let's start at the beginning.
Well, that was actually October of 1956. But thank you, Don. We're always glad to be here to share our memories of growing up in Racine during the 50s and 60s. But yes, the opening date was October of 1956. Right, Carol?
And Jim, isn't that hard to believe? It was 70 years. It will be 70 years next year.
Mm-hmm.
We were alive then.
You weren't even born.
Unfortunately, I was already on my way. Oh, 77 now.
Yeah.
But, Jim, I have to say about opening day, certainly the Journal Times must have given tremendous coverage to this all along as it was being built. But yeah. I was a Northsider.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this
Northsider.
North.
We're a Northsider.
And there's this invisible line somewhere that divides the north from the south in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not at opening day, and I'm sure there were a lot of Northsiders there.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, because you were a Southsider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we lived fairly close to the plaza. So later on, we're going to talk about that, the opening day, because actually I was there with my parents.
That is so exciting, because it was, I'm sure, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But being a Southsider kind of set the stage for us, Jim. What was in the vicinity, in the neighborhood, in the area that was stores and shops, businesses before Elmwood Plaza? What did the area look like?
Well, there were businesses actually just north of the plaza before it was even built. We had a 1962 city directory, and we determined that there was a restaurant right north of the plaza called the Huddle. Huddle Restaurant, like in football. And now that's turned into that Mexican restaurant on the corner, give you a point of reference. Next to that, heading west, was the Coin-O-Matic, where you could wash your own clothes, of course. Midas Muffler was there. Heading west, Plaza Auto was there. And where Walgreens is, about where Walgreens is, that was a High Boy Drive-In. Not many people remember that, I'm sure. Kitty Corner was a Deep Rock gas station. Remember that chain, Don? Deep Rock?
Nope, never heard of them.
Must have been a local thing here. That's where the BP station is now. And right next to that is the Dairy Queen, which has been there for probably going on 70 years. And directly west of the plaza was Terry's Department Store, or Terry's Discount Store. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. But that was about where the Pig is located now. And that was built in 62.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When I first moved here to Racine, there was something called Cindy's Hamburger Stand.
Oh, sure.
Now, that's not the same hamburger stand your Thai boy, is it? No.
No, no, no. That building is still there. It's a church now.
The Cindy's Hamburger Stand.
Yeah. That was
a religious location. Yeah,
it's right behind the plaza. Yeah.
Yeah. They saw the light. So now it's a religious thing.
Oh, you know, when you mentioned the Dairy Queen, though, Jim, when we were planning this, I mean, out of all those businesses, that little spot, the Dairy Queen, I mean, 70 years, maybe they weren't there at the very beginning, but all the decades, a lot of Dilly Bars.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
A lot of Blizzards have come out of that little spot.
Yep.
But there were also, of course, since we're thinking about pre-Elmwood Plaza, or even at the same time, what other shopping areas were there setting the stage? we knew, of course, our standards. Downtown, West Racine, Uptown. State Street was in my neighborhood from Carlisle Avenue. That stretched all the way from Carlisle down to Main Street with favorite businesses like old Lincoln Bakery and Court & Dick Hardware. But then also, you know, Terry's did come in. You mentioned that. Turnstile came in. On the north side, we had Rapids Plaza, and Zayers was the big anchor there. And I have to laugh when I think of Zayers, because I would walk down Carlisle all the half mile to go to Zayers as a teenager. And my friends, Marcia Fost and Pat and Grassy Nielsen, were one of dozens of Horlick people that worked there. And they like to say today that they ran the store.
My wife worked at Zayers.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there were some adults. Or was she a teenager then?
She was young.
Yeah, okay. Well,
leave it at that.
Younger.
They told me about some antics there, like even scaring new hires about the smashing up of boxes and operating that machine. But anyway, Zayers was operated by Horlick students and your wife. So, and then Shorecrest came in. That was 1960 on the north side. But in thinking about all this and the setting the stage for the shopping we had, there was a huge event that preceded this. This was 1950. Southgate opened on 27th Street in Milwaukee, near Morgan and Oklahoma. Looking at online about Southgate, it was impressive. It was large. It was very large. And I can't believe this, though. It must have been over a month. But my research said for their opening day, they drew such a large crowd from Milwaukee and everywhere, 60,000 people came in the opening days of Southgate.
Carol Gianforte, Jim Messira here. We're talking about the opening of Elmwood Plaza. Now, you mentioned Southgate a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. They had the only Cinerama theater in the entire Southeast Wisconsin there with that big curved screen where they ran all the big Cinerama movies and the big musicals. And I went there to go see Willow once because I wanted to see the theater. I didn't care about the movie. I just wanted to see the theater. And they had the big wraparound curved screen, the old Cinerama screen they showed Willow on. I love that theater. It's long gone, but like most malls.
Yeah.
But
Long gone.
You know, I was telling you off the air earlier, the mall by my house where I grew up just closed it down, and they took the Macy's name off the building before they tear it down, the M-A-C-Y-S.
Right.
And just took it down.
Now, I have to say, Jim and his collections, if we had had a Macy's here, he would be trying to buy that sign.
You bet.
He's got a lot of signs.
I show you a picture of it later, but it's about the size of this room. I don't know where you'd put it.
Got the museum.
Yeah, you've got that loft area.
He's got Nelson East Hardware. You know, that's right up there.
Okay. Yep. All right, let's continue about Elmwood Plaza.
Well, Southgate was called a suburban mall. So now what were we waiting for? Because lo and behold, in the early 50s, after we've been talking about our neighborhood, Jim, the neighborhood of Jim on the south side, there were the open fields of 23 acres, I guess, just waiting for a suburban kind of development. What got it going, Jim?
Well, actually, Racine realtor and developer Leon Freeman. I remember all the L. Freeman realtor signs that were dotting our neighborhoods, you know, back in the 60s and that. He was working on getting a shopping center in Elmwood Plaza. And for years, actually it took 8 years to plan, design, and build that shopping center. 8 years, you can imagine that. A huge building was put up there. It was 281,000 square feet and actually encompassed 23 acres. Goldblatt's was in the center with two wings of stores, one on each side. Entrances were outside. There were no interior connections, as it is now. Now, there were some stores in the lower level, and they had connections to other stores. For example, you could walk from Goldblatt's to the bowling alley, which was on the far west side.
Now, the lower level was like a basement, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Almost a little mysterious
in
some areas.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I think there were 17 stores we found that
on opening day.
That 17 on opening day, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the excitement was Goldblatt's. Now, Don had not heard of Goldblatt's, but I think we all, maybe we were acquainted because we were watching WGN-TV and listening to the Chicago radio stations. Mm-hmm. Goldblatt's was a chain from originating in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I had never, of course, been to go to Chicago. My parents and I hardly went there, so I had never been in one. Now, I think much later, Jim, you were in a Goldblatt's, much later.
Yeah.
But what was that like?
Well, I used to work in
in Chicago.
I used to work downtown Chicago in the Loop, and on occasion during my lunch hour, I'd walk to some of the stores, including Goldblatt's. That was on the southern part of State Street. Multi-level, it would like rival Marshall Field. It was that big.
And pretty impressive. I mean,
oh my gosh,
nicely
yeah.
decorated and
very
everything.
Very nice, very nice.
Well, we were absolutely excited that Goldblatt's was coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So that opening day then, and you were there. Oh, you were an eyewitness to this event.
I was an eyewitness, as they say. As a kid, I remember people everywhere, many holding balloons and packages. Carol and I have seen photos with hundreds of people all dressed up in suits and dresses on opening day. And like Carol said, there were 17 stores that were open that day. More opened up a few weeks later. We had stores such as Crambo, which was a food store, of course, on the East End.
What was the name of that store?
Crambo. Their mascot was an elephant. I don't know what they eventually...
That doesn't even sound appetizing.
Yeah.
Crambo.
Crambo, right, yeah. We had another anchor store, which was Penny's. Kresge's Dime Store was there, where that Family Dollar store is located now. Ficus's, a women's store, a lot of shoe stores, such as Kinney. Remember Kinney Shoes?
Yeah, I remember Kinney's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Red Cross Drugstore on the far west side. And many dignitaries were there, all dressed in their suits. Actually, Mayor Jack Humble, on October 10th, proclaimed Elmwood Plaza Days. And even the Elks Youth Band was there.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Cuckoo Katie, beautiful Katie. We're so glad you come to work in Grassy Store. Cuckoo Katie, for 50 credit. You're the girl who's going to help us all sell more.
Yes, you'll love Katie, because Katie has joined the Kresge family for just one reason, to help you and your store move ahead.
Now, for people who don't know, Kresge's became Kmart, which is no longer.
Mm-hmm. Seems to come to an end.
Everything has its season. Carol G and Forte, Jim Basir here. We're talking about Elmwood Plaza, some of the big stores that were there, including Goldblatt's, which is no longer there either. And we'll talk about that big fire, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we're getting to that.
I saw the picture of that. That was spectacular.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right, so let's more about Elmwood Plaza now.
Okay, well, getting back to the opening celebration, actually it was a four-day celebration, Wednesday through Saturday. And it was complete with, Don, you probably remember something like this, a pair of giant scissors cutting a ribbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also had Hollywood searchlights and clowns roaming around.
So people were ready to come.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, there are pictures of the crowds.
Yep.
I think one of the big attractions, besides the stores and especially Goldblatt's, this phrase, plenty of free parking. Well, that was amazing.
Well, you know why they did that? Because downtown,
exactly.
It was covered
in
parks. So Elmwood Plaza said, hey, we got plenty of free parking.
It's right? Free.
And and it was room for 2,000 cars.
Yep.
What I think, too, is we didn't, maybe all of us, but gals, me, we didn't have to parallel park ever again. We could just pull into our spot and... There we were.
Yeah, didn't you pass your driver's test? You had a parallel park on
yes,
that test.
Yes, yes. The last time I did it well.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of body shops didn't appreciate that, too.
Oh. Now, you Southsiders, Jim, you said even at a young age, you would just ride your bikes over there as kids.
Oh, yeah.
You could leave them there. Everything
just leave
was
them
safe,
there.
Walk
sure.
over.
Yeah.
But now, again, that dividing line, the Northsiders, that huge distance away we were, other than driving. Now, we all took the bus. It was second nature.
Yep.
A ride for maybe 10 cents in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that marvelous color coding of our bus lines.
Six different ones. Right.
Red, orange, white, green.
Yep. Blue. Blue. Yeah.
Yellow. Yep. Was there yellow?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And you have studied these bus lines.
Well,
so I know that you told me that the blue and green lines ended up right in front of Goldblatt's.
They sure did.
But I started out with the red line at home. So tell us the logistics of this big bus arrangement we had.
If you took the red line, you would have to walk probably about two blocks. The green line and the blue line went right into the plaza and stopped right in front of Goldblatt's. And it's funny because when the green line came into the plaza, they changed to the blue line and then headed north. And just the opposite. When the blue line came in, they changed to the green line and then headed east.
What'd you do if you were colorblind?
I guess you're out of luck. Walk.
Oh. Well, and I just loved in one of our in-person presentations that happened to be at the Golden Rondel with all your collections.
Mm-hmm.
Don, get this. Maybe you were there. Jim has the mechanism of the buses that changed the color.
Mm.
So I felt like a van of white.
Yeah.
I was up there turning from blue to green to yellow.
Yep.
He has that. Just what a collected item. Oh,
that was a big hit, I remember, too.
Oh. Yeah. Well, and I remember my mother and I just tucked this in here. Great memory. This was across the street, but there was a Big Boy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, we would each get a hot fudge sundae. I can still remember the tulip dishes, the doilies underneath, the long silver spoon, that great fudge, and the cream on top, cherry nuts. Nice for mother-daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all during the heyday then that we entered for the plaza.
Right. The heyday actually was during the 60s and the 70s until what happened? The Regency Mall came into play in 1981.
Literally across the street.
Well, down the road a little bit.
Kitty corner, yeah.
Right, yeah. And at its peak, there were probably 30-some stores there, that were in business. They would come and go, of course, but you could shop for all kinds of things there. A strong mix of popular local and national stores. Now, Elmwood Plaza was actually owned by the Duran Corporation, and the head man was L.L. Freeman. So he was back.
This was really a great enterprise. Racine's economy was very good in the 50s as it opened, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that heyday that we're using that word appealed to shoppers because we had jobs and probably steady money. But this was the free parking besides the stores, but it was convenient. You could just drive up possibly to your anchor store, walk a little bit here and there. But it did feel, even though it was a long distance from east to west, it did feel convenient. And we'll talk about the stores and the what was available a little bit later, but there was a huge variety, even including services like hearing aids and buying insurance. So I guess in the heyday, there really never was a vacancy.
Not really, no.
Also,
no.
The heyday, it depended so much on Goldblatt's.
Mm-hmm.
And Goldblatt's stayed strong for 25 years.
Yep, they were the anchor store there until they closed in 1981. Like Carol said, they were around for 25 years. They would always celebrate their birthdays with free cake and gifts. It was really a big deal. They offered a lot. The lower level had their lunch counter and their clearance center. They had a nice garden center in the back. You could buy furniture. There was a beauty salon. They had a candy department that would rival Fanny Farmer's. You could buy appliances, housewares, even lava lamps, sporting goods, cameras, shoes. They had a nice pet department there, too, where kids could buy baby turtles, parakeets, goldfish, probably without telling their parents, I don't know. But their claim to fame was a minor bird, where some young boys taught that minor bird some bad words, shall we say, some naughty words.
They always did it. We had one in our mall, too, a minor bird, these kids taught the minor bird. They had to bring the minor bird in because he was screaming curse words to everybody when they went by.
Right, yeah. And I can imagine how embarrassing the clerks were when all of a sudden this bird started uttering these colorful words.
And what we love to buy in the 50s, 60s, Jim, that lava lamp that makes me smile.
Oh, yeah.
They were
yeah.
very, very popular.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, eventually, too, or soon, there was entertainment to enjoy. First of all, of course, you could have the lunch counters, the delicatessens, Tompkins, Velvet Freeze, and Caramel Corn. You could spend a whole day there between shopping and eating, mm-hmm. but... Mm-hmm. How about Spencer's Bowling? Mm-hmm. Did you hang around there, Jim?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We spent almost the entire Saturday at Spencer's, starting at probably, maybe about age 12 for me. But on a Saturday late morning, we would walk there with our neighborhood friends. We'd probably have maybe six or seven, maybe even more. And we'd bowl a few games and then go to Velvet Freeze on the opposite end for our ice cream. I tell you, those were the days. And we taught each other how to bowl. You know, I don't think anybody really taught us. We just sort of trial and error. And they probably had maybe, 24 lanes, I'm thinking. It's gone now, of course.
Well, what Plaza Bowl is there now,
yeah.
right?
No.
That's gone, too?
They gutted. Plaza Bowl is gutted. I think the owners of Angry Brothers bought that. And then gutted the old bowling alley there.
Huh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
we're talking to Jim Messier, Carol G. and Forte. We're talking about Elmwood Plaza. And bringing back some memories this morning at WRJN. W-R-J-N. Jim and Carol are here. Who's got the tuberculosis cough there? Was that you, Jim? Who is coughing?
I don't know. No one's going to admit it.
Who's got that TV in this? All right, Jim Desir, Carol G. and Forte are here. We're talking about the history of Elmwood Plaza, which was a predecessor to Regency Mall. And I guess this is the first time people had a different... they used to all shop downtown Racine. Mm-hmm. This was the first time they were able to move out to the burbs a little bit, get out of suburban mall.
Yes.
Yep.
And it wasn't a mall. It's like they call it a strip mall today.
Yeah.
Because you never
outdoor mall.
An outdoor mall, because you never went inside the shop.
And a plaza.
Plaza.
Because then Regency Mall was called a mall.
Uh-huh.
This was called a plaza.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever the distinctions are about these labels.
I remember the first time I was in a shopping mall when I was a kid. I couldn't believe it. You walked in, take your coats off, and you can walk to all the stores.
Yes.
It was really, I'd never seen anything like that before.
Well, that was the next wave. Jim, I'm going to surprise you, but did you get to be a good bowler?
No, never did.
You did not. Not bowling with the champs or anything.
A lot of gutter balls, yeah.
Well, the hours of the mall also, were fairly typical, but we heard in that Goldblatt's ad when they had special events, mm-hmm. they extended their hours.
Mm-hmm.
But then something revolutionary happened.
Yep.
Terry's came in, 1962.
Terry's Discount Store.
And they started something. And
they
the
sure
mall,
did.
The plaza followed. Mm-hmm.
A lot of
they
stores followed.
On Sundays.
Sundays. They were the first store in Racine to
open
on Sunday.
Didn't have the Sunday Blue Laws out here? We have the Blue Laws where I live, where no stores except a mm-hmm. hardware store and the food stores can stay open
mm-hmm.
in restaurants, but everybody mm-hmm. else had to close on Sunday.
Maybe mm-hmm. they broke the law and we didn't know it.
The Sunday Blue Laws. I don't know if they had them out here.
Yeah. Well, they ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was quite revolutionary.
That's
I think your priest
well,
was upset.
Well, actually, yeah. When this was announced... When Terry's was going to open, that their opening ad said they're going to be open on Sunday. Well, that was unheard of. Nobody goes shopping on Sunday, never downtown, never any place. And all of a sudden, we can go shopping on Sunday. Well, our parish priest was so upset about that. His sermon was about never going shopping on Sundays, because that Sunday was reserved for going to church, for visiting, relaxing, but never, never shopping. So what happened? Our parents took us for a ride that day for opening day, and the cars were backed up for two blocks trying to turn into Terry's.
Yeah, by the way, my wife texted me, and she says, that was my store, Terry's.
Oh.
I love that store.
Oh, yeah, name for her.
I guess the churches didn't like you cutting into their business on Sunday.
Probably, yeah, right.
we're going to do a second program on Elmo Plaza next month. About all the stores and what we shopped for. But let's switch to what we knew was, now that we say, I guess it was inevitable, but the decline that began. The discount plazas and stores gained, shoppers, like the Rapids Plaza with Zayers. Kmart was over on Ohio Street. Turnstile came in. But, yes, the main change for Elmwood Plaza was the Regency Mall, the main cause of the decline, which opened in 1981. Now, the Regency Mall, that had three anchors. What were they now? That was Boston Store.
Sears was one.
Sears and Penny's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And yeah. Goldblatt's had wanted to have Elmwood Plaza be enclosed. And we know it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Regency Mall was enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
And Don was just saying, when you went into an enclosed mall out east, you couldn't believe it.
Just here, take off your coat, and mm-hmm. you can walk around. It doesn't matter if it's snowing or raining outside. They had little park right. settings with trees on the inside. It didn't matter what the yeah. weather was.
And Regency Mall, like others that came too, I think they had marble floors, artwork, plants.
Little lounges, yeah. Couches all over the place.
Possibly almost elegant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And people like to try new things. That
was
certainly new.
And it was enclosed.
Yeah.
It was enclosed.
Right.
And so then stores began to turn over at Elmwood Plaza. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. was some of that, Jim?
Oh, boy. Crambo became a Kroger. And eventually, when they went out, it became a Goodwill, I think. And then a Whitlock auto supply store. Kresge's became Jupiter. Red Cross Drug became a Jam discount that sold beauty supplies. Other stores came and went. But the vacancies, were quite evident at that time.
And then another major thing. We returned to Goldblatt's.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things happened for Goldblatt's.
Yep.
Our anchor, the fire.
Oh, the big fire.
And that was, we have the date for that, April yep. 18th, 1979.
Yep.
And it started in the beauty salon,
mm-hmm.
but was mm-hmm. enormous. They had to close for several mm-hmm. months.
Yeah.
Now, you were still in that area.
What? Yes. Yeah, we still are. We were on, mm-hmm. we still live on Lathrop Avenue. And this was, I think, maybe about 6:30. We started to hear fire engines and sirens all over the place. And it's normal to hear one or two, but all of a sudden, there were more and more and more, and they were coming from different directions. And we thought, where are they going? What's going on? So we jumped in the car, and we got as far as Taylor and Lathrop, and the police were there, blocked off the street. So we thought it was the plaza. Eventually, we went around. We made an end run down Taylor, and we saw the fire in that, so we realized that the plaza was on fire, but actually it was just Goldblatt's.
Was it mainly smoke, or did you see flames, too?
Oh, I saw the flames, too.
Really?
There's a picture online. Smell. You could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the photograph is there.
Yeah, you could smell the smoke all over the place. But
so that was a big part
big
of the
deal.
Decline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
And then the same thing being a chain from Chicago, Goldblatt's the chain.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, the whole chain went into bankruptcy.
Yeah, it took them about 6 months or 5 months to rebuild the...
Did it?
Yeah, the store at the plaza. Mm. But then in 81, the whole chain, like Carol said, went bankrupt. So that was the end of Goldblatt's in Racine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then with Regency Mall, many of the stores that were still at the plaza left for Regency Mall.
Yes, yes, that's right. Couple examples that we found was Penny's. They closed their downtown store and the plaza store, and they combined them, and they moved to the mall. Richmond's was another one that pulled the plug over at the plaza and went to the mall. It seemed like that everybody was just trying to get into the mall now because that's where all the action was going to be.
And where's the mall today?
Yes,
yes. Isn't that ironic?
Yes.
And Elmwood Plaza doing very well. They have a lot of stores. They got the buffets. They got they got a lot of stores in there.
Well, they got the Sew and Save, which has been there for many years.
Yeah.
Asian buffet is always crowded.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Family Dollar.
There's always cars in the lot.
Yeah, that's always there.
Where is the mall today?
Now, we don't want an enclosed, beautiful mall. Isn't that something?
That's right, yeah.
And downtown has been basically reinvigorated.
Oh, yeah.
From its
downtown's doing great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So next time we are going to, in April, we're going to go through some of these stores. There eventually were 30. Stores like Figus, Kinney's, Richmond Brothers, Three Sisters, Penny's, Lindstrom Bakery, New Mode Hosiery. And we're not just going to name them. We're going to go into some and do shopping. And what were we shopping for in those days? Like Madras shirts.
I had Madras shirts.
We all did, right?
Yeah. Mini, I like them. Yeah.
Mini skirts?
Yep. Mini skirts.
Oh, okay. Not for you guys.
Bell-bottom jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Flare jeans.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to
we'll get into
shop
that.
For what we liked in those days. It should be fun.
There was also a miniature golf course there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you guys for coming in.
Our thanks pleasure. For having us.
You'll come in for our April show, and we'll do a part two to this. Yeah. Jim Basir, Carol Gianforte here at WRJN. And let's leave you one more time, in case you missed it at the top of the hour, the Goldblatt's jingle.
Everybody's hurrying to Goldblatt's for good old-fashioned savings. It's Goldblatt's fabulous one-day-only sale tomorrow, Thursday. Goldblatt's great low prices on brand-new items, values in every department, with extra late shopping hours to help you save even more. Look at these great values.
Save $7 an Oster 10-speed blender, only $19.99. Colgate toothpaste with an MFP, only 89 cents each. Hurry to Goldblatt's one-day-only sale tomorrow and bring a friend.